You all to take a look at the tree to my right. And here's what I want you to understand. Do y'all remember how beautiful this was when it was adorned with all of the decorations and all? And then when you take the decoration away, that you will see what is left. The real you. You see, it was not the tree that reminded you of anything. It was the beauty of the decorations that was on it. That's who we are, folks, on the inside. We are a tree without decoration. And Jesus looked at us and he says, I offer you salvation. I will take care of the debt that you owe. And I see you for who you are. I see you hurting. I'll recognize that you are the individual that is broken in so many ways. But I will adorn you. I will decorate you over a lifetime. Each mistake, each trip up, I'll hang something else right there so the world can see that in your life walking with me, I'm the one that shows the beauty. Looking on the inside a lot of times, you know why you don't do that often? Same reason your pastor doesn't. I'm a human being, and when I start really looking, I'm a mess. You and I had rather so often look at someone else so that we can put a face on our failures. Doesn't work that way. For one thing, you and I, only personally, are we allowed to come in the presence of God through Jesus Christ. Or there's only one way, and his name is Jesus. You and I need to look, but don't look at the roughness of our past or even the roughness of today. Because let me tell you something. Just because you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life as a grouch doesn't mean after you accept him you're no longer going to be a grouch. Remember, you and I need to minister to one another. Well, the best one to minister to another grouch is a grouch. And then we hear the truth of God because we witness on our inside. Without Christ, we are broken. Without Christ, we don't look very well. But when God looks at us, he sees our faults and our failures. And as he looked, he said to you and to me, I have a remedy for your condition. I'm going to send my son. And my son is going to take all your ugliness upon himself. When Jesus Christ went to that tree on Calvary, gave his all, he gave it for you and for me. So that we would be beautiful to his Father as he presents us to him. One day, you and I are not going to get up or wake up here on earth. One day, I'm either going to wake up here or wake up in heaven. Now, it's easy for me to say I'm ready to go on, which I am, but it's easy for me to make those statements. But here's what's difficult for each of us. We forget a true fact that God has laid out for us. And that's the message this morning I want you to look at. Because you see, it's so important for you and I to understand who Jesus is. You might as well give up on trying to understand yourself. That ain't going to work. How many times have you said, I just don't understand why I'm so dumb? And your wife agrees. That's life. That's called reality living. But here's something so many forget. This is only a vehicle. A mere shell. This vehicle called the human body is only a vehicle for the human spirit, which is eternal. Now, I am a spiritual being. God gave me this body to drive around while on planet Earth. When I leave this body, the me, the driver that is in here, when I leave this body, I, the scripture says, will immediately, my spirit, will return to my Father who breathed me into existence. And people says, that is so foolish. I hear Christians saying, I just don't believe that. We believe that Jesus Christ went to the cross, or you can't be a Christian. Either that we believe that Jesus gave his life for us as a ransom. He paid for us because he loves us. And we accept and believe he was born of a virgin. He lived, he ministered. He went to the cross, went to trial, went to the cross, died for our sins. On the third day, he arose. 40 days after that, he ascended into heaven. I believe that. And Christian says, I do too. But I just don't believe what you're talking about the separation of the body and the spirit. Well, it's in the same book where you read the other. It's in the same book. We really need to read a little bit further. I was talking to my class this morning, and I said it was bringing to their attention a focus of a scripture. No greater love has a man than to lay down his life for a friend. I use it all the time, in funerals and all, especially with our military. But read on. Read on. Don't just stop there. He said, peradventure a man, that's the old English, peradventure a man would give his life for a friend or a loved one. But my son came, this is a paraphrase, to save a world of sinners who hate him. That's the difference. Those of us in combat, we knew that we were ready and willing to give our life for the ones we love and for freedom. Jesus came to give his life for the ones who hated him, despised him, ridiculed, beat him, and nailed him to a cross. I didn't realize I wasn't religious until I got around a bunch of people who claimed to be religious, and then I was tickled to death I wasn't. I'm a Christian. That means that I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm saved through a personal relationship. It's not a religion. His name's Jesus. Therefore, through my personal relationship with him, I will let the world call Christianity a religion, but Christians, you need to understand it's a relationship. Do you see what's going on in religion all over the world? In God's name? Gosh, there's so many people fighting one another in the name of God. Can't you imagine the angels of heaven still looking and shaking their hand at the head at the human race? Are you people ever going to get it? This morning I want you to look at hope. Now listen, folks, you and I, because of who Christ is, we have hope eternal. Hope eternal. I want you to look at hope for the loved ones, our loved ones, who have passed on through physical death. Now, if you're ever trying to figure what should I say, is he dead, is she dead, is, you know, what what the actual term used scripturally is passed over or passed on for the human race, period, whether you are a Christian or a non-believer. Our spirit will live eternally, folks, either in heaven or in a place called hell. Real place. Real place. And a real bad situation. You and I, Christians, who say we have a relationship. In our relationship with our Savior Jesus Christ, then would you and I not confess that we are to do as Jesus did? I will protect my family, no matter who comes to the door. Too much Marine in me on that one. I will protect my family out of love. But I also know something else. I am obliged to God to proclaim the truth even to my enemies. And I will. That means I will not back off from my statement that bothers some, that Jesus Christ is the only way. He is. I am not excluding anyone. It's inclusive. When you accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of your life, you're heaven bound. But there's no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. So if I love someone, why would I lie to them? And say, oh, it's okay. Yeah, you believe, just as long as you believe something. You should have met the criminals I had to deal with over the years. Worshiping radiators just like the ones in this church. Never, ever heard a radiator ever talk to them. But some of them heard it talking to them. See, that's the world in which we live. I am not to be of the world. Christian, you are to be in the world. That means that you and I are here for a purpose. And that's to remind folk. When this body ceases to breathe, that is not the end. You and I are eternal beings and we shall never ever cease to exist. God said, I'll give you that body. I want you to use it. I want you to go where I tell you to go. I'll make sure the legs will carry you. I'll take care of you. But it's no good for me to go naked like this, even though Isaiah preached 3.5 years naked. That ain't happening in this church. But he did. Why? To get their attention. That got their attention. But from the tree of being naked means nothing until it's dressed. The cross that we would see on Calvary means nothing until someone was on it. You and I have been dressed by Jesus Christ. I am to love, and I'm not to be foolish in the process of loving. We're called by God, folks. It's a calling that is so blessed. Every one of us should thank him every waking hour for even allowing us to mention his name. Hope for those whose loved ones have passed on through physical death. John 3:16. Remember, John 3:16 is the mini Bible. Which means if you and I had no other word from God than just John 3:16, you could be saved and recognize him. That's powerful. For God so loved the world. He didn't say, I just so love everybody that's following me. I just so love the world. Everybody, that I'm going to send my son, my one and only son, and whoever believes in him will never perish, but have everlasting life. See, the everlasting part for me is the life part. I will have everlasting life with Jesus Christ. The ones who do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior will have everlastingly living and not being able to die. If you want to know something horrible about hell, it's a place where you can never cease to exist, and you'll go through a living hell. Many of you go through a living hell on a daily basis. Hurt and pain in the family. Nations are being destroyed because of hell. And it's time that God's people came alive. It's time that the true army God called gets activated. Activated, well, what do I do, preacher? Don't ask me. Ask God. He's the one who activates us as individuals to stand for His word and His ministry. Do what God has called you to do. But I don't know how. You will, but you got to take the first step in the doing process. Once again, is upon you and your faith. I believe God called me to preach. But had I never taken that step into the ministry, I would still be today, 40-some years later. Gosh, I'm getting old. 40-some years later, saying, you know, I wished I'd answered the call to preach. You and I are the army of God. You and I are the body of Christ on earth. It is not about the name of the church. It's about the name of your Savior. It is not about the location. It's about where you and I are in the location God wants us. I shall never die. Your loved ones, oh folks, I do not understand such love and grace of God. I really don't. Listen, I can't even understand why God loves me. I certainly don't understand why God loves Randy. But that's who we are. Born again. And God says, I love you. I want you to listen to hope fact number one is we have an appointment to physically die. One appointment you'll keep. It is appointed for us. Hebrews 9:27-28. And just as each person is destined or appointed to die once, and after that comes judgment, so also Christ died once for all as a sacrifice to take away the sins of many people. Why did he say many people? He only takes away the sins of those who accept his offer. Folks, the person that does not accept the offer that Jesus extends to us of, Lord, I confess my sins to you, and he says, I've taken them away from you. Many people will. Even more than many will not. He will come again. Jesus. Not to deal with our sins. Already taken care of, folks. Our sins have already been taken care of. He's not coming back and saying, Larry, do you remember when you said this? I'm not even sure what I'd said 5 minutes ago. I know I'm not going to remember the other. You know why? We are spiritual beings. When preachers preach, they better be preaching in the spirit and not in the human mind. We got enough of the human mind going on right now. For people are being slaughtered. Not to deal with our sins, but to bring salvation to all who are eagerly waiting for him. The world that cries out, oh, they've been talking about Jesus coming since the beginning. Yeah, they have. Oh, and by the way, he came. He came in the Old Testament. Read about it several times. Isaiah will tell you about him. It was Jesus who came in the New Testament, we call it. And they said, well, no, it's been over and over again. People said he's coming, he's not coming. And every time Jesus would walk in, they were surprised. The sad part about it is today, I wonder, in the United States of America, if Jesus, or when he walks through that door, you got to remember, he said that judgment will begin at the house of the Lord. It's not the judgment for your sins when Christ comes. You saved, you're saved. But there are many sitting in pews today throughout the world professing Christ, yet they do not know him. They have a Christian religion, but they do not have a Christian relationship. And the Lord says, I am not going to come to deal with our sins, but to bring salvation to all. Now, I want you to remember this about salvation. When I said yes to Jesus Christ, that means I'm saved. We use that term, born again, saved. I'm saved from all the sin and the guilt and the punishment of it. But it didn't mean that salvation of God ceases every day. I can see in my life where Jesus himself has stopped something from happening. I see it all the time. Even after it happens, I can witness that Jesus was there. You and I need saving on a daily basis. That's why we need to start off with prayer. You need to talk to the Lord. Don't say, God, I'm going to go on vacation today and I'm going to have fun. Don't do that. Not going to work. Lord, if it be your will, if it is your will, I will do this or I will do that. Do it according to the will of God. Hope fact number two. Life is filled with pain and sorrow. Does anybody here doesn't believe that? Even believers get physically sick and die. Now, this is a scripture that I want you all to mark in your Bibles. I want you to take it home with you. I think I have it in the bulletin. But this is a scripture that's going to give you the truth of salvation of the Lord. Now, listen to this. Isaiah 57, verse 1 and 2. Good people pass away. The godly often die before their time. But no one seems to care or wonder why. No one seems to understand that God is protecting them from the evil to come. For those who follow godly paths will rest in peace when they die. I listen to all these people where the children are slaughtered and they say, where was your God then? He's right there. He was right there. We look at the separation from this body as, oh, mercy. Folks, I've done so many funerals. And let me tell you, when I started as a young minister at a funeral, I used to get so aggravated. Go to a funeral home. Here they said this godly individual is right there in the casket. And everybody is laughing and carrying on and hugging. And I thought, you know, I was raised that when you become a preacher, you look different. You know, you act different. You do. Well, it bothered me. And then when I got into the chaplaincy, when God had called me into all these prisons for this many years, and I dealt a lot with those individuals who cursed God right on their deathbed. Then I understood something. Christian, you got something to be happy for. talk, laugh. Remember the good times. The Lord will put that in your memory. Remember the good, because the better is yet to come. If you're a Christian, you will see that other Christian, family member or great friend, not going to be long. As you all know, I have a 100-year-old mother who truly frightens me when she talks about her 116th birthday party. But you see, God has us here for a purpose, folks. For a purpose. And all you need to do is look around at those around you. You are my purpose, folks. You are my purpose. God says, I've called you to preach my word. Let them know the truth. The truth is, there is never going to be for your life on planet Earth a separation from the hell that continues to attack you. But look up. Look to the heavens from whence your blessings come. And remember, God said, always look to me. Hope fact number 3. Death and the grave have no victory over Christians. People said, oh, they're putting Larry down there and he's not going to be long. The worms crawl in and all that stuff, you know. He's gone. No, he ain't. Excuse the vernacular. No, he ain't. As a matter of fact, he just might be watching. I've always told Randy Kidder, you cry. I need somebody there that's going to cry. He'll do it laughing, though. Because you know why? I know Jesus Christ personally as Lord and Savior of my life. And all hell itself has no authority over me. Might beat me up. Might drag me through a street. But it'll be Jesus I see. The hurt and the pain of the loved one you're looking at, if that loved one is the Christian, you're watching the death of a body. We do not know exactly at what moment God withdraws the spirit when an individual goes on life support. And that individual has been declared dead by God. Does the spirit leave then? Is it not just the body that is breathing? We can do a lot of things in science, but you can do nothing to change salvation in Jesus. One name only. 1 Corinthians 15:55. O death, where is your sting? The translation on this too. You will see, O grave, or Hades, or the netherland, the world, the place of the dead. O death, where is your sting? O grave, or Hades, where is your victory? There's no victory for Satan. He thought there was. He's excited when he thought Jesus was dead. Boy, did Jesus pop his bubble. And the rock was rolled away. John 5:24. I tell you the truth. This is Jesus speaking. Folks, when Jesus says something, it's always the truth. I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. When I was born, this body started to die. When you were born, you started to die. Had you ever thought about why the scripture tells us, weep at birth and rejoice at death? You got to study that one pretty deep. God says, listen, I created you eternal. When you said yes to my son, you will eternally be with me and you will work for me throughout the universe. People say, well, it's all over at that time. That's strange. I thought God said there would never be an ending to his creating ability. That what exists will continue in some form. Here's a whole fact I really want to leave you with, which is number four. The encouraging conclusion. Here's the facts all put together of the facts of the Christian life. You'll find them in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so that you will not grieve like people who have no hope. That's what I always dealt with those individuals who didn't know Christ, wailing and gnashing of teeth. I've had them almost pull a casket over and all, trying to get their loved one out, like that's going to make a difference. Why are they doing that? Because they see no hope. You and I, our hope is in who Christ is, not in how good a Christian we are. Jesus Christ died for me right in the middle of my sin. He forgave me. And he said, I love you. Lift my name up above all others. Can't come home right now, Larry. Not true. But I've been promised that when God is through with me here on earth, that I get to be with him. He didn't say Ricky Tick, but I do. I'll be with him. But I will not quit before God calls me home. If I can breathe and speak, I'll preach. If I can think, I will think upon the Word of God. And if I can move, I will move this body in the presence of anyone God leads me that's looking for the answer of all the sorrow in their life. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, I told you that's the belief. We also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. The believers are coming back with Jesus. The graves don't open until they get here. We are spiritual beings. You know, the best that we can do on the studying is understand that even in our spiritual being form, we'll still recognize each other. I think that's cool. And the graves are going to bust open. Well, let me not get ahead of myself. God will bring back with him the believers who have died. Okay. I'm wanting to preach again, so let me finish. We tell you this directly from the Lord. A great witness when it comes from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him, now listen to this, ahead of those who have died. They've already met him. They're coming back. We're coming back. Therefore, as they come, the graves will open and they will be given a glorified body. Or we, according to whether we've already gone. But your life existence will never, ever, ever be over. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout. I guarantee you, the world will hear the shout of God. And I don't care what religion you're a part of, the world will hear the shout of God. commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. I get excited reading it. Man, you talk about marching to the right drummer, right, Brother Randy? I'm talking about, folks, that we're going to hear, and at that point, you and I, we're going to be shouting. And we're going to be real in our shouting. It's really going to be the Holy Spirit and not a show. The trumpet call of God. First, the Christians who have died will rise from their graves. Their spirit's coming back. Got it? Pick up the body. Then, together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. That's called the rapture. Do you know the word rapture is not even mentioned in the Bible? But this is what the term means. Rapture means to be caught up, to change from one location to the next. Then we will be with the Lord. How long? You got it up there? How long? For thank you. So encourage each other with these words. Now you think of this. You and I are to encourage one another about dying. You tell me what other religion can do that. Well, I can promise you this. There's no however how many virgins are up there. God does not use in heaven things that relate to the human existence. No, it's heavenly. We're spiritual. We will understand the great love, and we'll have an eternity in which to understand it. Here's another key. When that loved one passes over, God says, don't you worry. Larry Pete, don't you worry. You'll be with them soon. I used to really laugh at that because I'd tell this congregation, don't worry, you're all going to die pretty quick. But you know, that's a fact. But that's the blessing of the Christian life. And our focus needs to be on who Jesus is, not on who we are. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the blessings and the joy of your salvation through your Son. Touch each of us now, Father. Give us courage and boldness and help us to stand strong for your truth. I thank you, Father, for your love. I thank you for your peace that surpasses all understanding. Touch each of us now that we may look to you for guidance in the ministry you've called us while we are here. Help us, Father, for we now realize we cannot help ourselves. Bless this great nation you've given us. Father, once again, help us, Father, to bless you. We thank you for the joy of salvation and your truth. We ask your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen.